Let me invite you to return to your seat. Remain standing as we focus on God's word this morning. If you're new to Redeemer, we've been making our way through the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And what we've been doing is reading that passage, Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. And then we've been finding another passage on the one fruit that we're looking at that particular day. Today, it's the fruit of faithfulness for me. Faithfulness meaning fidelity or devotion or constancy, trusting in Him. That's the fruit that we focus on today. Proverbs written by Solomon was written for us to grow in our understanding of wisdom. But what Solomon does today is he focuses on our growth in wisdom by giving us a picture of what it means to remain faithful to our Savior. He does that by giving us three imperatives. Three imperatives just meaning the exclamation point, the commands: do not, let not, and lean not. Now, I know you're like me because we are fallen creatures together, but when we come across imperatives, the commands of Scripture, many times what we do is think to ourselves a certain thought, and that leads us down to the wrong path, down the wrong trail. What is that thought, you ask? What is that trail, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked, because now I'm going to show it to you. Let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. We begin in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you give us a beautiful picture here in this portion of your word, a beautiful picture of your faithfulness to us, your covenant people. And not only your faithfulness, but then your call for us to, because of your faithfulness, to live out faithfulness to you in our life, by the work and power of the Spirit who reigns and dwells within us. So we would simply ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes to behold beautiful things from this portion of your holy law today. Seal them to our lives through the work of your Spirit for your glory, our good. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Please, friends, be seated. I only make my way down to Redeemer a couple of days a week, but what I do, since I live so far away up at Canyon Lake, to cut my mileage in half, I stop at the Via Park and Ride in Stone Oak, and I jump on the bus there, and I make the rest of my trip down to the city on the bus. And it's an express bus, so it only goes to the airport and then straight downtown, and it stops right over here by First Baptist, so I'm only about four blocks away. So I can get here in a relatively short amount of time, but I cut my mileage in half, cut my gas consumption in half. But when I get to the Via, I'm typically early. I know that shocks you. I'm a little early before I get there for my bus. And lately, it's been so warm outside, and the sun is rising in the east, and the benches outside are facing that direction. The sun is baking me in the face. So I go into the lobby area, and I sit in the air conditioning, and I watch people as they come in. And there's a whole bank of vending machines along one corner of a wall. And they'll make their way there, and I get a kick out of watching every one of them do the same thing. They'll begin to, you know, look down this row, and then they're looking down this row, and then they're looking down this row. And they're slowly deciding what it is that they want by saying, yeah, I'll take that one. I might enjoy that one, or nope, not going to have that one, not going to have. They narrow down their decision by what they think they want and what they know they don't want until they put their money in and then they push the buttons. I've done it 100 times, the same thing, narrowing it down by choosing what I want to choose and not choosing what I don't want to choose. And many times we do that with the fruit of the Spirit, don't we? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And we say, yep, yep, nope, nope, nope. And we think that we can pick the ones that we want to pick and not pick the other ones that we don't want. I remind you that Paul in Galatians 5 says that this is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. We may take them out individually like we're doing in our sermon series and refer to them as I am talking about the fruit now of faithfulness, but it is the fruit of the Spirit for this purpose, because we don't get to pick and choose which ones we want to do and which ones we don't want to do. It is the fruit of the Spirit that God gives to us. And I think we do the same thing with commands as well, or imperatives. Solomon focuses on 3 imperatives today, talking about faithfulness: do not, let not, and lean not. And if you're like me, which I know you are, many times what we do is we read those lists and we think, now the negatives, okay, if I don't do that, I don't do that, and I don't do that, then things will go better for me. Life will be better for me. I will actually get more things. I will get what I want. And so we use the imperatives, the commands in Scripture, to do what we want to do, don't do what we don't want to do, in order to gain something for ourselves. But now Solomon has done a wonderful thing here, a beautiful thing in Proverbs chapter 3. He has given us the 3 imperatives: do not, let not, and lean not. But following each one of the imperatives, he gives conjunctions: the conjunction for, the conjunction so, and the conjunction and. And it's for this purpose. The conjunction then gives us a beautiful picture, the end result of a godly life of faithfulness. The imperative drives us to the promise of what God gives to us. The imperative, that which we're supposed to do, drives us to the thing that God supplies. Our God is faithful, eternally faithful, has always been faithful, and now calls for us to be faithful, not by our works, not by our efforts, but because of his faithfulness, he now provides ways for us to do the same thing. That's why the conjunctions are there. We're not focusing solely on the imperative, but the imperative drives us to the conjunction, and the conjunction drives us back to what has already been offered and supplied for us by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I started a book this past week. It's a wonderful book, and it's got a bunch of different authors, and they're focusing on the Sermon on the Mount. So the whole book is about the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus was teaching. Listen to this quote in the introduction section from E. Stanley Jones. Now, the focus is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jones says, "Jesus is not presenting a new set of laws, but demanding a new faithfulness, a new loyalty to his person. The loyalty to his person was to be expressed in carrying out the things he embodied. He was the embodiment of the Sermon on the Mount, and to be loyal to him means to be loyal to his way of life." That's what Solomon is telling us here. He gives us a picture of these imperatives to drive us to the conjunctions to see the way that we are now commanded to live by the power of the Savior who reigns and dwells within us. So friends, listen very carefully. We must start here. Please, we must start here. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and not by your works. Not by works, whether you think a little bit of Jesus and a lot of bit of me, or a lot of bit of Jesus and a little bit of me, but it's me and Jesus together to earn salvation. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, not by works. But you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, that never remains alone. Our faith is guaranteed to grow day after day. I'm not today what I was yesterday, and by God's grace, I will not be tomorrow what I am today. That's the promise of the gospel, that it's the work of the Spirit within us now, not anything that we have done, but the finished work of Christ on the cross, as we just confessed in our affirmation. We must start there. Otherwise, we'll take the imperatives and we'll say, okay, a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of me, doing it all together. It's all Jesus. He has done it all. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. But now a faith that does not remain alone. Putting ourselves under the teaching of the Word, then we are growing in grace day after day after day. He's giving us more and more and more of Himself. Look at your bulletin. Look at the outline or the introduction section of your bulletin. There are 3 points there. We start here. We've got to start here. God's faithfulness to man's faithfulness to the Spirit's work. God's faithfulness, the core of His attribute. He always is, always has been, always will be faithful. And because that is the core of His attribute, we, being created in His likeness and image, we are to bear that faithfulness out now, but not by what we do alone, but now the work of the Spirit. It's the gift of God, as it says there, in the work of the Spirit. Even our growth in grace, our growth in our faith, is the work of the Spirit in us, the gift of the Spirit that is working in us to change us inside out, day after day after day. Now, sometimes that's not as difficult to do when things are going well in life, right? When everything seems to be going well, we think we're growing. We think we're growing each day. But throw a little suffering in there, and oh my goodness, it doesn't seem that way at all, does it? We didn't finish reading the chapter, but what Solomon actually says is this: if you do these things, if you do not, and you let not, and you lean not, guess what? Life is still going to stink. Life is still going to throw you curveballs. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. And so he shows his son, he shows us today that even in the midst of suffering, we are to remain faithful. So what do you do, friend? What do you do when the doctor uses the dreaded C word? You've got cancer, and the cancer doesn't go away. What do you do when the rains begin to fall and the river rises? And not only does the river rise, but now it wipes out not only structures, but takes the lives of young children. What do you do with that? What do you do when you're caregiving for a loved one and you're exhausted and the caregiving situation does not have an end in sight and there's no one lined up to help you and it's just day after day after day of suffering? What about your broken relationships? What about your anxiety? What about your fears? What about all of those things in life? How are we to remain faithful then? It's like driving in a car doing 70 miles an hour, headed for a storm that you can see on the horizon. And when you get to the storm, the rain begins to fall, and you turn on your windshield wipers on frantic. You've got your hands on 10 and 2, and you're white-knuckled. You've scooched yourself forward in the seat to be sure you see the taillights of the car in front of you, and you slow down to 20 miles an hour, but you press on until you punch through the other side, and the storm is over. We do that, friends. We do that only by binding around our necks the steadfast love and faithfulness of our Savior, by writing on the tablets of our heart the steadfast love and faithfulness of our Savior. That's the point that Solomon is making for us today. The work of the Spirit in us by the work, finished work, of one who remains faithful to us forever and ever. So let's look at these three imperatives. And I know that was a long introduction, but the points will be a bit shorter. Verses 1 and 2, my son, he says, my son, this is the third time it's happened now in the book of Proverbs, and it happens 2 times in chapter 3. It is writing to his son, he says, my son, do not forget my teaching, But let your heart keep my commandments. The word teaching there is the Hebrew word Torah or Torah. It is the word that we use throughout the Old Testament for the law of God. So the source of the Father's command to his Son is keep the law of God. Write that law on your heart. Write the word of God on your heart. Keep that law. Love that law. And then the consequence now from the imperative, do not forget, don't forget his teaching, but remember the word, plant it in your heart, love it in the depths of your heart, memorize that word, not so that you can gain favor, but it's what the Father has given to us for life and peace. That's the result. Now the conjunction gives us the result of life and peace. Now, this relationship that I have with Yahweh, with my Savior, a relationship that fills me with life and fills me with peace as he has been faithful to me, now calling me by the work of the Spirit to be faithful to him. Sinclair Ferguson on this text said, there are two verses in all of Scripture that summarize the entirety of Scripture. The first one is Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart and your soul and your mind and you shall love the Lord with all your life. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6, with the Aaronic blessing, or Numbers chapter 6, with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Give you his shalom. Life and peace, the same thing that Solomon says is ours today. For the length of days and years of life, not that we're adding to the number, but the quality by living faithfulness to God. Because of that, dear friends, we are giving our full attention to the Word. We're writing it on our hearts. We're not failing to remember his law that he gives to us, because in clinging to that law, he seals the work that he has already done for us. So my question is, you, what about you and the Word? When you wake up in the morning, isn't it so easy to grab that cell phone and start checking? I have empty inboxes. I can't stand stuff in my inboxes, and I got to get rid of the texts. I got to get rid of the emails. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to miss my bus. And then I don't have time for this. Don't we do that so often? Not spending time in the Word so that God is now forced to give to you, but spending time in the Word because he's been faithful to you. And he promises through the Word to show you how he has been faithful to you so that you will have life and peace today. That's the gospel. Not about what you do, but about what's been done for you. And the consequence, the answer, is all that he promises to provide. All right, the second one then in verse 3 and 4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, but bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. This is love and faithfulness. This is covenant language. This is right out of Exodus 34, where Moses comes back down the mountain the second time with the second set of the tablets of the law. And he says, the Lord, the one who is abounding in mercy, the one who is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, the same two words that are right here. It's covenant language, because we have a covenant God who entered into a covenant with us and reveals himself to us. So friends, are you utterly convinced today? Are you utterly convinced today that God loves you? That he is pouring out his steadfast love and his faithfulness on you? If we don't start there, you see how easy it is to move to the other side, to think it's all about me and what I can do. Are you utterly convinced today that your covenant God entered into a covenant with you to make you his child so that he can prove to you his steadfast love and his faithfulness? Oh, that's the gospel, and that's what Solomon is giving us here. So what do we do in response to that? We bind them around our neck, and we write that on the table of our heart. We bind it around our neck that God loves us and is faithful to us. This is the only time in Scripture where we read that. But over and over again in the Old Testament, we read about being stiff-necked people. So maybe what Solomon is doing here is giving us a complete opposite picture. Or maybe like they used to wear the law, you know, on their forehead, strap them in the little boxes to their forehead. Maybe they literally are putting on, binding on necklaces or something like that that remind them of the love and covenant faithfulness of their God. My little Yorkshire Terrier dog is 14 years old. His name was Doug. Doug died a little over a year ago. And when we told Evie, my granddaughter, she was devastated. She was utterly devastated. And so what Jennifer and I did is we went to the store and we bought a little gold heart locket on a chain. And inside the locket, we put a picture of Doug so that she could wear that around her neck and remember how much she loved Doug and how much Doug loved her. But eventually she found all of his dog tags. Every time he would go to the vet and get the shot showing that he didn't have rabies, and she clipped every single one of those. She took it off and put every single one of those on there so she had this bling like this. And she would walk down the hall, ching, 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 ching. And it was just a reminder that I'm giving to you. Bind them around your neck. Wear the love and faithfulness of God around your neck, where he seals to you his covenant faithfulness to you. Write them then also on the tablet of your heart. This is only internalizing what we know already to be true. But now only does the word not affect our action, but it affects our motives, our hearts. We do actions based on what we know to be true, that he sealed to us in our hearts. Bind these around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. Why? It's the second conjunction, verse 4. So that you will find favor and good success from God and others. Now, we define favor and good success. If I try harder, the boss will give me a promotion, and in a promotion, I get a raise, and with a raise, I've got more money, I can buy a better car, and with a better, all of those things. The Bible knows nothing of that definition of success and favor. The language that's always used in the Bible to talk about God's favor and success is that he is looking down, smiling down on us. The Father is dancing over us with joy. That's the definition. It's not in our keeping that we just bind and write. It's so that we have good success because that's what the Father delights in doing. He delights in dancing over us with joy. He delights in turning his face towards us. He delights in listening to us. He delights in looking down and smiling upon us. In the midst of suffering, loved ones, listen. Your heart will be utterly hardened to the love and faithfulness of your God if you have not come to the conclusion that he really does love you. He loves you, and he's pouring out his goodness through his faithfulness to you and promises to continue to do so. The last one then in verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust there simply means to abandon self and to redirect that devotion to someone else, to abandon for devotion, abandon me so that I can be devoted to my Savior. We don't like that one many times, do we? In our Western culture, you mean it's not about me? You mean it's I got to abandon myself completely so that I can be devoted completely to the Savior? That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible is saying. But yes, I don't know of any other Greek word. Now, this was written in Hebrew, but a Greek word for the first person singular, a pronoun, I or me, is in the Greek, it's ego. From which we get our word ego. It's spelled the exact same way. You remember the commercial some time ago when the toaster oven would have the waffle pop up and each one on each side would grab that waffle and what did they say? Let go my ego. I want it more than you. I'm not going to abandon the ego so that you get it first. But here what we find Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Abandon yourself so that you can now be completely devoted to your Savior. Trust in Him. Lean on Him. I got back just a few weeks ago from Creed, Colorado. I was doing fly fishing. You know how much I love to fly fish. And I've come to the conclusion in my 64 years of living now that water is faster for these old legs, and those rocks are a lot slicker for these old feet. So I have a wading pole that collapses that I wear in a pouch on the side. It's got an elastic string or cord inside, and you pull it out, and it's 5 pieces, and it pop, 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 pop. They all pop into place, and I can lean on that thing, and I can cross the river with great confidence. I'm leaning, trusting on this pole to get me to the other side. That's only a picture of what God promises to do. Lean into Him, loved ones. Lean into Him, lean on Him, abandon self that you might trust completely in what He promises to give to you. And then we have that final conjunction. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And what's the promise now? And He will make your paths straight, or He will make straight your paths. That is a metaphor that's used throughout all of Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. Making straight our paths means that things go well for us, that this is what the Lord promises to give to us. But think about a path. It really is a path that is very narrow because you're putting one foot in front of the other foot, in front of the other foot, in front of the other foot. As we endeavor through life in the small things, then we continue in the suffering, the big things, confident that God will see us through as He is seen in the small steps. Now, even in the struggling steps, even when you want to cry out, God, why? Why is this happening to me? I do not understand. Cling to this. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and the promises your path will be straight. That's what the Savior promises to do to you. Do not. Let not. Lean not. Not so that we can earn it by our own favor, but because that's all that He has done for us. That's what our Savior has done for us and now fills us with the Spirit to do in response. I didn't start seminary until I was 33 years old. I was second career. I was a firefighter paramedic for 10 years north of Dallas. And when we went to rookie school, our instructor shouted for the first several weeks, would explain each piece of the bunker gear that we wore, the bunker gear that was our protector, and how we had to be faithful to put on each particular piece. He instilled that in us from the very, very beginning of rookie school. This is why firemen don't like the movie Backdraft and Ladder 49 and stuff like that. You remember Backdraft when the brother finally comes back? He leaves the arson investigation. He comes back and he's now inside the cab, and a new rookie, a new recruit, a cadet has come out of rookie school. He spent 40 plus weeks now learning everything he needs to learn. And he doesn't even know how to put on his bunker gear. And he shouts over at him, "You're doing it wrong." That would never happen, because they instill in us from day one the faithfulness of putting on each piece of your bunker gear, because that is your protector. That is what is going to keep you safe. One particular day, we got bumped out to a structure fire. I knew the address. I heard the address. It was literally right around the corner from the Central Fire Station. And the first thought that went through my mind was, oh my goodness, we're going to pull up and I'm not going to have everything on because it's that short of a commute. And David and I were in the cab. We were putting everything on as we had been taught, faithfully each piece, putting that on. We pulled up to the front of the house. It's a single-story dwelling, two-car garage, front entry. And the garage door is down, and a wall of fire is lapping up out of the garage and over the top of the house. Down the side was the sidewalk that went to the front porch and the front door. So David and I are pulling everything off, getting all of our hose untangled. We make our way to the front door, secure our breathing apparatus, open the door, and we crawl right into the entryway. Unbeknownst to us, a solar hot water panel right over the roof for the sun to heat the water inside the solar panel. And in their intelligence, they put it right over the front door. So we crawl in, and as soon as we get into the front door, this solar panel cracks due to the heat, and it comes crashing down with gallon after gallon of scalding water, breaking the sheetrock and the insulation, and it comes pounding down on us, knocks our helmets off, and David begins to shrill and scream, pushes me out of the way as he's getting back out the front door. David forgot to put on his Nomex hood, the smallest piece of bunker gear, a hood that goes over down to protect your neck and your ears and just has a hole for your face to go over. In the hurriedness of getting there so quickly, David forgot to put on that small piece. And when he retired, he still bore the second and third degree burns down the side of his face, the loss of his ear, and all the way down his neck. Friends, we are called to be faithful, to put on every piece that God gives to us, put on everything that God gives to us, faithfully putting on every piece that God gives to us, that in such times like that, we can endure, we can press on, we can live in the goodness of what God promises to give to us. And so we say, onward and upward, not by our strength, for our glory, but by the finished work of Christ for the glory of God to the benefit of saints like you and me. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for even the gospel that you give to us, the gospel that is on every page of your Bible, because Jesus is found on every page of your Bible. He has done this work for us, bearing our sins in his body on the tree to set us free, that we might now live in the faith of him, his righteousness, and through his righteousness we stand in your presence as those that you love, that you pour out your chesed, you pour out your steadfast love and faithfulness upon. So, Father, do that again to us today. Remind us of that every day as we wake up, as we seek to live out this gospel in this world through the work of the Spirit who gives it to us, promises it to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.